For it is better, if the will of God be so, that we suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also have once suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring to us God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the Spirit in prisons, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited for Noah, while the ark was being prepared, were saved by water. O kind and loving Father, make me a nail on the wall where your portrait will be hanged, and everyone facing will be facing you on the wall. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Who are the decorative committee people here? Glenda, Jackie, Rose, you all see why we need our pulpit, right? I knew I was supposed to be speaking here for quite a while. And I have been wrestling with a topic. I've spent a lot of time in it. But for some reason, the Lord is diverting me from it. The time is not right, Wilson. The time is not right. Putting my finishing touches on it, I just couldn't wrap it up. And the Lord diverted me. And when I spoke with my wife this morning, she didn't know it, but she made a statement, and I was already deciding on that, and she confirmed it. And what I'm going to speak to you this morning, I'll be speaking to you from my heart. I noticed the time is 12:15. You all cannot do that to Brother Wilson. I cannot speak to you for 15 minutes. The apostle that I have dedicated my life and have tried to be his example, Peter. One of the reasons I love Peter, it's because when I was raised a child, I was deprived to mingle with fishermen. They cost too much, they are too rough, and you cannot be around them. I wanted to learn how to mend a net. Because in my island, they make their own nets. Take that needle, take a piece of wood and make the exact needles. We call it the needle to weave the nets. I wanted so much to learn to do that. But in order for me to learn to do it, I would have to be among fishermen. And my back would pay for it if I was caught with them in the marketplace. But when I come to the knowledge of Christ, I'm sorry. When I came to the knowledge of Christ and understand that the Lord that came from heaven to mingle with man took upon himself the nature of man. When he started to put his followers in place, he started at the very same place I was deprived of. Do you really understand what I'm saying? He walked on the Sea of Galilee. And he took the uneducated. He took the rough ones. He molded them. He fashioned them. He educated them. He was patient with them until he made them the greatest. And you cannot speak about God if you don't speak about his disciples, because the majority of them are the writers and the examples of our lives today. The very same seashores and the very marketplace that I was deprived from as a child, our Savior walked this same street and collect his own people from this very same place. And today I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed, though humble and feeble I may be, to be called the child of God. I have gone through the valley of the shadows of death. And that is why I believe I can help my friends to understand when you and I go through the valley of the shadows of death, we need not fear no evil, for there is one that have walked it before you and me, and through him, we can walk through the valley of the shadows of death and we will not even hit our toe against a rock, because he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And he also admonishes us in all our ways to acknowledge him, Jesus Christ. Acknowledge Jesus Christ. And he will direct your paths. I read from 1 Peter chapter 3 before the prayer. And we are going to spend some time in 1 Peter chapter 4. And we will... Thank you. And a little child shall lead them. Verse 1. For as much as Christ have suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that have suffered in the flesh have ceased from sin. Christ suffered in the flesh. And any one of us that continues to suffer in the flesh and put our hands in his hands, we too shall cease from sin. Verse 3. For the time past of our lives may suffer us to have wrought with the will of the Gentiles when we walk in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revealing banqueting and abomination and idolatry. If we look back with the children of Israel and the problem that God have always have with the children of Israel in their rebellious attitude, idolatry was the number one. I always wonder, why should idolatry be the number one? But we don't need to ask such a question, because in the commandments he said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. And the other gods don't have to be a statue. In the Virgin Islands, I first lived in partnership in a home with a young man. This guy had a Dodge Dart, nice blue car. And I'm talking about the late 60s and the early 70s, okay? I'm old. And this man would idle this car. If he is going down our village, the little island is small, it's 15 miles from town to town, west and east. And if this man is heading towards east because he lived in the west, and for any reason he sees some dark clouds in the sky, he wouldn't drive this car. He do not want it to get dirty from other cars splashing water on his car. He worshipped his car. And so I understand exactly why God would not want us to put anything or any other person or any object before him. I can understand why he was so angry with Israel. We have a little problem within ourselves sometimes, that whenever we hear the word judgment, whenever scriptures are being spoken of, and whenever we hear the word judgment, we automatically become defensive. Because we think when we speak about judgment, we're trying to judge each other. I don't know if that's the reason why or the only reason. But God speaks a lot about his judgment upon his people that disobey his rules and his commandments. And so if the Lord gives the ones that are responsible to preach the everlasting gospel, if they should reserve speaking about God's judgment, they will be doing an injustice to God's people. Peter, with his low vocabulary, that's why I love this man. I believe he studied in depth and understand his Savior, understood his God. In verse 14 of 1 Peter chapter 3, says, if ye be reproached. For Christ, for the name of Christ, happy are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, he is evil. If they speak evil, of you, but on your part, be glorified. In other words, be happy. If a man is speaking evil against you, and you know the evil is not true, especially, what you got to do with that? As human, you may, you know, as human, but you have to learn to leave it alone and even glorify God for his doing. But let none suffer for murderer. Don't suffer as a murderer. Don't suffer as a warmonger. Don't suffer as one that is in sin. Don't suffer as an adulterer. Don't suffer in none of these things because it is not profitable. It's not profitable. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Verse 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin in the house of God. Did you hear what I read? For the time is come that judgment must begin in the house of God. And if it first begin with us, Peter said, if it first begins with us. So I'm taking it for granted when Peter speaks about the house of God, he is talking about God's people and he is including himself because he said he used the word us. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinners appear? If God's people scarcely be saved, where will the wicked and the sinners appear? Where will they appear? If God's people scarcely be saved, and that is a very serious, serious statement. When I first started studying this verse of scripture in depth, it helped me to understand and to see myself. It helped me to make a U-turn in my life. It helps me to draw closer to God. Because if I am wasting my time, and when people ask me my belief and my faith, I tell them that I am a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. And for me to be lost and to be exercising the things that they do and practice the things that they do, it means that I'm going to be lost. And if I am lost, what is going to happen to those that are hearing that I am a Christian and I am not exercising the commandments of God? And that is a very serious charge, or a very serious warning for God's people. All through the scriptures, God has been pleading with his people. And you heard the scripture reading that was read. The The prophet Hosea had a big problem. Every prophet of God had problems with Israel because of the stubbornness that Israel portrayed. And the Lord God works very closely to every one of his prophets. And God gave Hosea the strangest and the strangest assignment. And the Lord called on Hosea, and he said, Hosea, I want you to find a woman for you to be married to. It was February of 1969. Robert Wilson saw a woman, and he believed that this woman had to be his wife. And he pursued it. And even until this day, I believe the Lord put me together with this woman to be an inspiration of my life. Hey, if there is one husband and wife that don't disagree, raise your hands. Is there one in this congregation that you and your wife don't disagree? Show of hands. So you know that my wife and I have disagreements too. But I thank God for this woman in my life. And if somebody had said to me, Wilson, you cannot marry to that woman. You have to go and get a prostitute. You have to go and get you a common woman for you to be married to. You would have to stand at a distance. You wouldn't give that to Robert Wilson. But that is what the Lord charged Hosea with. The Lord charged this man to go and get a prostitute, a common woman, to marry to. But I want you to know, that is a spiritual aspect of Israel. God's church was wandering away so far from God. They wandered so far from God until the Lord had to put himself in the prophet Hosea and ask him to go and get a common woman to marry to, symbolizing he himself, God, that wants to marry to the adulterous church. A church that have been committing all kind of fornications in his presence while he is endeavoring and trying his best to save his people. Send him to marry. And the Bible says he went and married a woman, Gomer. And she bare him a son. He called his son Jezreel. Jezreel, when I look up the meaning of the words and what Jezreel was, Jezreel is a little island that in a valley in Israel that joins from the Jordan River down towards Israel. And that is where Israel was. Remember, the Lord gave them this land. But Israel was deep in sin. She bore him a second child, a daughter. And she bore him a third child, another son. I got to wrap it up. Go swiftly. You want the depth and the full depth of this, of that I'm talking about, join us with our Bible study across the street. Just join us with the Bible study. You'll have enough time and we'll spend enough time for we to study it in depth, line up on line. And here the prophet married to that woman, had three children with her, but she still continued in her adulterous habit. walking away from God. And the Lord put himself again in the place of, make Hosea put himself in his place. And he urged him to go back and fetch that woman. And he had to go back and get that woman and to bring her back in his life. The Lord was showing Hosea that you have to represent me, and those people, you have to talk to them. Let them see me in you. You have to represent me. That is exactly what God is doing for you, church, and is doing for me. Not only for the Lakeland Seventh-day Adventist Church. I want you to make sure that when we speak about the church or the Adventist Church, we're not talking only about this congregation. We are worldwide. Last Sabbath, the man that spoke here to us, the Lord have a special place for this man. And I would like to be his armor, his sword carrier, or his armor carrier, because I would like to help him carry some of his stars. Worldwide evangelistic man. And so here is Hosea representing God, going back to pick up that woman that have put him to shame. A prophet of God married to a woman. One mistake is made already. She's a prostitute. And the other mistake, she left him and walk away and continue in the very same act. And the Lord is, and the man is still going back, and he bought her after she have taken you down to shame. You want to show her so much that you are in love with her. You're going to pay riches, fine gold, precious ointment to regain her, to demonstrate to her your love towards her. That is the God that you and I are serving. I will not take the time to read it, but in the book Great Controversy, I will tell you its page. It will be page 480. 480, The Great Controversy. God, in his judgment, he is working for you and for me. Daniel saw the throne of God moved. And he saw when the throne moved, and another throne was placed, and that other throne was given to his son. But it was not the coming to this earth. It was the movement that was in heaven as the 2300 days came to its climax. It was the movement of Christ from the holy place to the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary, where he went with his own precious blood, just like the priest in the ancient days once a year would go inside the most holy place with the blood of the children of Israel on the Day of Atonement. And here Jesus Christ moved at the climax of the 2300 days, which climax in 1844, Daniel saw the movement in heaven, and the thrones was placed. And Jesus Christ put on his priestly garment and move into the heavenly sanctuary, most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary, to atone for your sins and for my sins. If you don't have a copy of The Great Controversy, I urge you to get one. Is there a visitor amongst us? Yeah, is there a visitor that you're not a Seventh-day Adventist, ma'am? Are you a Seventh-day Adventist? But do you have A Great Controversy? Is there another person amongst us that is a visitor and a non-Adventist? Is there another? Is there another? I want to invite you to read this book. Read this book. And the Lord is in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary, atoning for you and for me. And one day, it is going to come to an end, because he will proclaim it, it is done. He that is holy, let him be holy still. I am really cutting down on my sermon because the time is running out. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. If there is a time for you to be righteous, is now. If there is a time for you to be holy, is now. If there is a time that you're planning to be unjust and you need forgiveness for your sins, now is the time to ask the Lord for forgiveness and to accept the work that he is doing for you in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary, because he wants you and I to be in his kingdom. That is one of the reasons. And as he moved into this place, he is completing his mission from coming to as a baby in Bethlehem, his first coming, up to his second coming when he will come and take us home. And so right now, he is working with the saints. He is working with his Father in trying to unite the church and himself. Because when he will appear, he is coming to take an unadulterous church. He is coming to take a perfect church, an unspotted church. One that is not running after another man that don't belongs to her. This is the church that Christ is going to come for. The church that don't mix themselves with other churches. Let me explain. In the ceiling of the 144,000, there is a verse that says that when he sealed them as virgins. And it continued to say, because they was not mingled with other churches. Let me expand. I'm not ashamed. The Seventh-day Adventist Church is one of the all, is one, and I should leave out the all, is the only one that preaches this message that I am just trying to put in your ears this morning. Thousands and thousands of preachers in this world, but they don't preach to you the priestly work that is going in the heavenly sanctuary. They don't teach you that. But that is where our Lord and Savior is this morning as we are talking. That's where he is. And when he lay the priestly garment down, he is going to walk out. Because and he will say, it is done. He's going to tell his Father, it is done. The work is finished. There's going to be a time, church. There will be no mediator between you and God anymore, because the work is finished. Sometimes we will think that, is God real? Is God real? Is God real? That is because the work of the atonement is finished. If you are holy, you will remain holy. If you are just, you will remain just. If you are pure, you will remain pure. But my appeal to you today, if you are hearing his voice this morning, if there is anything in your life this morning that is going to turn you away from God, I am appealing to you from the depth of my heart. In the name of Jesus, repent from it. Repent from it, my brother. Repent from it, my sister. Come and let us reason together, says the Lord. Let us come together and unite as one. Let us unite as one. That when the world will see, do you know how beautiful this chandelier look? Can you count in a spot how many lights that is in it? Doesn't it look very unified? Isn't it not very pretty to see all those bulbs uniting together as you flip the switch, they all show up? Oh, how I pray that is how God's church would unite. Oh, how I long to see God's people unite. When I see you, you fall on my shoulders. When I see you, I fall on your shoulders. Oh, how I would love to see God's people unite. And that is the burning desire of my heart for this church. We are entering a new year. Church, let us put all our indifferences aside. And let us look unto the author and the finisher of our faith. And let us try to be the support to every one of us. The missing members, find them. Those that are unable to be here this morning, find out why, what reason. I am very disappointed. Last night, I make a very special visit, and I had the blessed assurance that a good friend of mine would be in here, but he's not here. But you know what? I'm going to keep praying for him. And do you know what is the strangest thing? While I was talking to him, he's the one I went to visit, I had an opportunity to give a mini Bible study to his good friend. We prayed together, and he promised that he's going to come to church. But one day, if they don't come, I'm going to hunt them, because I am taking the example of Peter, and Peter was a fisherman, and that's what I plan to be, a fisherman for God. What do you want to be for Christ? What do you want to be for Christ? If you cannot sing like angels, if you cannot preach like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus, you can say he died for you. Let us bow our heads. Loving Father, if I have misrepresented you, dear Lord, I ask you to forgive me. But I pray, dear Lord, that our short conversation that have been presented to you will take roots in our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake.